Will Robey lives in the shadows. As America's top assassin, he eliminates threats to national security with surgical precision and unwavering loyalty. His Edinburgh mission demonstrates his extraordinary capabilities. He notes exactly 16 returning Scots and 53 tourists on his flight, establishing his constant situational awareness. After creating a tourist cover by visiting Edinburgh Castle, he executes 5 targets in rapid succession using different techniques for each kill. What makes Robey exceptional isn't just his technical proficiency, but his psychological composition. He sleeps soundly afterward, unburdened by taking 5 lives. Yet beneath this cold efficiency lie hints of humanity. When he receives a congratulatory message from handlers that he finds inappropriate, we glimpse a man who, despite his profession, maintains certain standards. As he walks for hours by the river, reflecting on his uncelebrated birthday, we witness the isolation his career demands, a solitude that will soon be challenged in unexpected ways. 3 months after eliminating a Saudi prince in Tangier, Robey receives an unusual assignment in Washington, D.C. During downtime, he'd lived a semblance of normalcy, taking walks, reading, and noticing Annie Lambert, who bikes to her White House job. Inside his target's apartment, Robey finds unexpected items, a playpen, children's drawings, and toys. When he discovers his target sleeping with a small boy beside her, his handler orders him to kill both. In this pivotal moment, Robey refuses. When the woman wakes and shields her child, Robey warns her by shooting the pillow. Suddenly, a sniper from outside kills both mother and son. Finding a baby in a carrier, Robey photographs the woman's Department of Defense Inspector General ID, leaves the baby with a neighbor, and escapes. This moral choice transforms Robey from loyal operative to fugitive, revealing his character and setting the central conflict in motion. Now targeted by his own agency, Robey must use his skills not to complete a mission, but to survive one. On a New York-bound bus, Robey spots a teenage girl and a man wearing gloves despite mild weather, a professional killer's trademark. When the man attacks the girl, she fights back with pepper spray. Robey intervenes, and they escape moments before an explosion destroys the bus, killing everyone aboard. 14-year-old Julie reveals she fled an abusive foster home to return to her real parents, only to witness her father's murder and her mother sacrifice so she could escape. This parallel, both on the run, both witnesses to violence they couldn't prevent, creates a powerful bond between them. When Julie attempts to leave Robey's rural Virginia safe house at night, he respects her autonomy, offering directions and another pepper spray canister instead of stopping her. When she expresses her desire to kill those responsible for her parents' deaths, Robey warns that killing changes a person fundamentally. Julie's response, that it's her choice how to live or die, leaves Robey contemplating her words, seeing in her determination a reflection of his own resilience. As Robey investigates, he discovers his aborted target was Jane Wind, an employee of his own agency, an inside job. Working with FBI agent Nicole Vance, he learns that Wynn's ex-husband Rick was found dead in his pawn shop, hanging upside down with his tongue cut out. Julie connects her parents' murder to the Wynn case. Her parents had dined with Leo and Ida Broom the night before they were killed, all appearing troubled. When Robey and Julie visit the Broom's apartment, they find it professionally wiped clean. Julie's insight to track her father's military connections reveals that Curtis Getty, Rick Wind, Leo Broom, and others served together in the Gulf War. They shared a distinctive Spartan warrior tattoo, symbolizing their brotherhood in hoplite formation. The breakthrough comes when Robey discovers squad member Elizabeth Van Buren's husband works for the Secret Service. This triggers Robey's memory of Prince Talal in Morocco using a body double who died in his place. Connecting fragments about the weakest link and someone willing to die, Robey deduces the target is the president. Throughout the investigation, Robey develops a relationship with neighbor Annie Lambert, a White House employee. After sharing wine and a goodnight kiss, Roby briefly imagines life beyond his isolation, a rare moment of vulnerability. When infiltrating the White House disguised as a waiter, Roby spots Annie among the guests. Their eyes meet, and he notices her dilated pupils and unusual smile, signs of a suicide bomber. With sudden clarity, he realizes she's the assassin, the plant who's been decades in the making. In that split second, Roby makes an impossible choice. Lambert shoots the president in the arm before Roby puts a bullet through her head. Later, he learns the truth. Lambert was a sleeper agent raised by parents who suffered under the Shah's regime. Their chance meetings and developing relationship were orchestrated parts of Talal's revenge plan. This betrayal devastates Roby. For a man who trusts no one, Lambert's deception strikes at his core vulnerability, his loneliness and desire for connection. With the White House assassination attempt foiled, Roby faces a final challenge. Prince Talal has kidnapped Julie and FBI agent Vance. Talal sends compromising photos of Roby with Lambert, demanding Roby exchange himself for the hostages. In Tangier, Roby is brought to a hangar housing Talal's private jet, where he finds Julie and Vance badly beaten. When Talal orders his guard Abdullah to kill Roby, Abdullah unexpectedly gives Roby a gun. Together, they eliminate several guards while taking cover behind the jet's landing gear as reinforcements arrive. Instead of killing Talal, Roby hands him over to Saudi officials, telling Julie, "I think you would have preferred the bullet." This choice demonstrates Roby's growth, choosing justice over vengeance. The conspiracy's truth emerges. George Van Buren betrayed his country for money needed for his wife's experimental cancer treatments and out of revenge, blaming the U.S. government for her illness, which he believed came from battlefield toxins. The Innocent explores the psychological and moral costs of violence. Despite professional detachment, years of assassinations have isolated Roby from normal human connection. His apartment lacks personal touches, he maintains no relationships, and views every friendly encounter as potentially threatening. Julie's journey parallels Roby. After witnessing her parents' murders, she shows remarkable resilience alongside a disturbing capacity for coldness. When she expresses desire for revenge, Roby warns, "Killing changes you. It makes you someone else," recognizing in her the potential to become like him. In the conclusion, Roby arranges for Julie to live with Jerome Cassidy, her mother's half-brother, actually her biological father. Before parting, they share a meaningful hug. Watching Julie skip away like a kid, Roby contemplates how her wounds will heal while his own may not. He realizes that while neither he nor his targets are innocent, his purpose is protecting those who truly are. This represents Roby's redemption. He's still a killer, but now understands why he kills, to protect the innocent, not blindly follow orders. In a world of shadows, sometimes the most human choice is knowing when not to pull the trigger.